Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Hello to the friends on the webcast. Hope everything's coming through okay for y'all. I understand we have a daughter out in Illinois that's actually listening in, so a big hi to Sarah and the family out there. It's always good to know that they want to take the time out of their busy schedule to listen in. Especially when her dad's talking, so that's a lot of weight on my shoulders here. So I'm just kidding, of course. The title of the sermon this afternoon is Life's Ups and Downs. You hear the word ups and downs, you may conjure in your mind like a seesaw going up and down, or a weight balance, ups and downs. Life's ups and downs. Yeah, throughout our life, we have probably experienced events that have frightened or caused us fear. Then there are those events that gave us great joy and events that gave us great sadness. This is what I mean by life's ups and downs. Yeah, I've shared a couple of times in various messages about when I was growing up, something that caused fear in my personal life is when, if you may remember, I was out checking a chicken nest for eggs one morning before I had to go to school. And in the process of checking, saw the chickens out in the chicken yard, which was strange that early in the morning, but I found out why they were not in the roost area, they were out in the yard, because as I was checking the nest and I looked down, there was a full-grown cottonmouth water moccasin laying in the bottom nest. You know, about that big around, with its head pointing right at me. And I'm standing here like I am with this lectern, looking down at this snake, which, of course, it didn't take me long to move out of the way. But looking back on that, I knew that God had protected me at that moment. But at that time, thinking, I was fearful for my life because it could have taken me out at any moment, at any time while I was looking through the nest. Or a story that I've shared with y'all about Charlotte and I when we were first married and our little incident with an Amtrak train in our little VW. And how, you know, we felt the back end of the car being lifted and moved off the track, not even hearing the train or seeing it, but feeling the wind as it roared by. That frightened us. But great joy is when God called me, was baptized, my marriage, our kids, our grandkids. That brings great joy to my life. And, of course, great sadness would be, you know, loss of parents, loss of a loved one. You know, these things that we have ventured through in our lifetime. So how often in our life do we now exhibit these type of symptoms, being fearful or frightened or showing great joy or great sadness? Because are we experiencing more downs in our life than we are experiencing more ups? And you have to think about that, and you have to analyze that in your own life. Which is it? Are there more ups or downs in your life? Think about it. Only you can determine that. Especially with the recent events in Texas with Hurricane Harvey and its devastation in Texas and Louisiana areas, the aftermath definitely will play a role in people's lives now and in the future. It will have an impact and has already had an impact, not only on their lives, but the nation. And how they handle themselves now and later, how are they going to handle themselves if nature repeats that? Because now we're looking at Hurricane Irma out in the Atlantic and its track. A lot of prayers are going up. A lot of prayers for those that were affected by Hurricane Harvey and those that will be affected by Hurricane Irma. Because in September, that's the peak month of hurricane season. And it's interesting how, doesn't it just seem like Satan, he knows Feast of Trumpets is coming. He knows what trumpets means. The Day of Atonement is coming. The Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day. It's amazing how people call it weather incidents, but how these storms continue to intensify over the years, and how Satan is wanting to disrupt God's plan, God's holy days. There was an email from Gary Smith, the pastor of the Houston, Texas area, that Mr. Martin shared with us, and also in the prayer request. And I brought it with me, but I highlighted a few areas because a lot of us here in Florida or that have lived along the coastlines have experienced these type of storms before. And we know there are different phrases that you hear that will show people are fearful or they're frightened or they see joy and possibly sadness in these type of events. Within the email, some phrases like, experience has been a gut-wrenching catastrophe. Well, when you have storms like this, you can tell it is a gut-wrenching catastrophe because you really don't know what's coming next. Talks about several parts of the city are getting back to normal. And yes, that does occur. Things will start to get back to normal, but it takes time. Things are improving. That makes people happy when they start seeing things that are improving. There is a fear. There's still that fear in people because of certain reservoirs out there that may be compromised, so they have to do things to relieve those pressures. So there's that fear. They talk about there are hopes, they're hoping for things to improve. A certain process of cleaning up, and we know there is that massive project of cleanup. So all of these things add to the event. Some are fearful, some are still frightened. You know, even on just a regular thunderstorm after a hurricane event, can really shake people because they've already got flooding. So what's this extra water going to do for the flooding situation? People have lost homes. People have, you know, as we've seen in all the pictures, a lot of the flooded houses and destroyed homes and so forth. These are things that we have to be there to support. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40. And we will continue to pray for these people. Matthew 25, verse 40. Here Christ is speaking. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And this is what we're seeing there. We're seeing neighbors helping neighbors. We're seeing organizations reach out to assist in these areas. That's brought out in his email. Talks about neighbors are working together. Church group that is willing to come in and help clean. The ongoing concern that neighbors have shown. Talks about people going out, helping those that have been trapped. Volunteering at shelters to pass out food, blanket, water, whatever is necessary. And it says it's been amazing, amazing to see people help their neighbors. This is what Christ is speaking about in Matthew 25:40. Well, I'll read that again. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. That outgoing concern, that outgoing help. So So ask yourself, what is your greatest fear or worry in your life? What could that be? Because there's two types of fears. There's fear of man, the unknown, but we are instructed by God not to fear man. Who are we to fear? Who are we to show great reverence to? We're to fear the Lord. We're to show that reverence to God. The word fear talks about an unpleasant or often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Well, when you have a massive hurricane coming down on you, there's anticipation of danger coming. Are you prepared? I'm sure there are people that were in this event that had probably been through them before, thinking they were prepared, but they may not have been prepared enough. Just like we are being called by God, do we think that we are totally prepared for what's coming, or what occurs to us on a daily basis? Well, if we're staying close to God, then we're prepared than most people. We're not 100% prepared, but we are tracking in the right direction. Now, is there any lingering doubts in your heart or mind when you have these moments? We may call them a moment of weakness where we are fearful or we are frightened. It's a lingering doubt. We need to stay close to God when those moments, and we make ourselves aware of those moments that are occurring. Some people are going through a stressful time right now. I'm sure it's very stressful with those in the Texas, Louisiana area, those that are in the islands in the Caribbean, with Irma drawing down on them. Stressful. Anxiety. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. And that's what we need to remember when moments of fearfulness comes, when moments of being frightened of something. There's no fear in love. We know that God loves us. God will protect us. We just need to reach out to God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So that's like Satan wedging something when we're fearful or we're frightened. He's trying to separate us from the one who is our protector, the one that we are to be looking to. You know, there are examples throughout the Bible of people that dealt with the anxiety, being fearful, being frightened, such as in ancient Israel. They dealt with these feelings, especially when they saw Pharaoh and his army approaching them at the Red Sea. I'm sure they weren't happy to see Pharaoh and his army coming. We know we would not be. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 30. Exodus 12, verse 30. And we see in Exodus 12, verse 30, why Pharaoh and his army were bearing down on Israel. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. There was not a house where there was not one dead in all of Egypt. Here we're talking about the Passover, where the death angel passed over Israel and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. But Exodus 14, starting in verse 10 through 14, of course, when Israel saw Pharaoh drawing near them, what did they start doing? They were crying out unto the Lord. But of course, then they were complaining and murmuring and talking to Moses, accusing him of bringing them out. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? You know, you brought us out here to die. They were complaining. But in verse 13 of chapter 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And when you have a Category 4 or Category 5 or even a Category 3 hurricane bearing down on you, we are going to God asking for his protection. Especially now with Hurricane Irma, we want to say, curve that hurricane back out into the open waters. You know, protect over your feast sites in the Caribbean, on the Gulf Coast, on the East Coast. Protect your people. You know, it's a different thing. It's not like a Pharaoh and his army, but that is a massive amount of energy that we deal with in hurricane season. Because again, Satan, he is stirred up. He is stirred up with his army of demons. In Revelation 12, starting in verse 15. through 17. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Well, as I've already described, there's a lot of flooding involved with these heavy water events. Some records of over 40 inches of rain that fell during Hurricane Harvey. Massive amounts of water. It has no place to go. Just like a flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see there's a battle continuing. That battle is a spiritual battle with Satan. And it will continue until the return of Christ. You know, we know what is coming. We were given signs of what to look for. When the disciples asked Christ, when he sat on the Mount of Olives, in Matthew 24, verse 3. If you would turn there with me, please. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, meaning Christ, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world. And Christ did, as you continue reading the verses. He told them, he instructed them. And I'm sure there are people that go through these type of horrible events, whether it's a hurricane or war, earthquake, whatever it may be. They have to remember, if you read verse 21 of 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So just when you think it can't get any worse, here we're told, oh, it's going to get much worse. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we enduring? God instructs us through his Holy Scripture that we know what's ahead. So we are to stay close to God. We are to prepare our hearts now, daily, and continue to build that faith. I know it's hard when you've lost your home, you've lost your belongings, you've got to rebuild. And it doesn't just happen overnight, like Tristy's probably off for a week or so, or days, whatever it may be. I remember when 2004, you know, we had back-to-back hurricanes. I don't know how many remember that back in 04, but Charlie, Francis, the other one I'm remembering, Jeannie. There was another hurricane, but these are the three that actually, you know, we live in the middle part of Florida in Fort Meade, so, you know, Charlie, boom, straight over us. Jeannie and Francis were a little north, but we still got it. So you see a map with a crisscross. Charlie going from southwest to northeast, Jeannie and Francis east to west. Yeah, we remember those moments. We went through that. God protected us during that time, because all I lost during those hurricanes was a ridge vent or strip off the ridge vent. When we had neighbors who had trees through their houses, massive amount of damage, that's all we had. God protected us. God continues to protect us this very day, as he protects you. And we're to be consistent each day of putting God first, always, and believe, because we're to understand what fear is, to understand it. And it's a weakness, again, that Satan will try to manipulate and use against us. Again, he will try to wedge that by using that fear to get an opening. In Matthew 10, if you're still in the book of Matthew, just pages back to Matthew 10, verse 28. Sorry I keep going down like that, but the pages stick together, so. Matthew 10, 28. Here Christ is speaking again. "And fear not them which kills the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," who is him? "Fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So as I said earlier, there's that fear of man, which we're instructed, don't fear man. I mean, what can man do to you? Yeah, if he kills you, he kills you. He can't do anything else to you. You know, the next instant for you is the resurrection. But we are to fear God at all times, to show the reverence to God. Yeah, we need to come to the point where we are so close to God through prayer, study, meditating, and fasting. We're to be building the faith spiritually preparing our heart, our spiritual heart, and mind, our spiritual mind. Continue to ask yourself. Now, we can't do it for you, so ask yourself. How often during the day do you find yourself seeking contact with the Father and Jesus Christ? I think you would say a lot more than usual as each day goes by, finding it to be connected to God a lot. You know, we're to cast out fear, and we're to fill that void with the love of God. Again, we're to prepare our heart to build that serving attitude, you know, similar to Christ, because Christ is our example. When he washed the disciples' feet during the Passover service, he set the example for us to follow him, of showing that humble attitude and that serving others. Fear is something that is inward looking. It's not projecting out. It's inward looking, fear. And as I've already said, fear should have no place in your life. No place. We should show outgoing love and concern toward others. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 32. Here's what David says. 119, verse 32. It says, I will run the way of your commandments. I will run. When you shall enlarge my heart. And if we seek God, we will be preparing our spiritual heart. He will enlarge our heart, fill it with his words. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 13. It says, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be you also enlarged. Here's Paul instructing the Corinthians to be enlarged, to drink in the knowledge of God, to place that, fill the void that may be in your mind and heart with the understanding, the truth of God. Maintain the big picture. There's nothing small about God. It's a big picture for mankind. We know the end of the story. We know that God wins. God wins, we win, if we endure. In Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Luke 12, starting in verse 31. Again, Christ speaking here to us. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Again, Christ is telling us to fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it will be so wonderful for us to accept God's gift. We are looking forward to that so much. And we are a little flock, but we are God's little flock. Again, Satan will try to break us. He's not going to give up. He wants to destroy it all. But again, keep focused on that big picture. other examples that we see in the Bible of those that did not fear. Why? It's because they relied on God for their deliverance. Just as we today, we rely on God for our deliverance and our protection. And He gives that to us. David, the shepherd boy, who became King David. The story of him shepherding and killing the lion and bear. And also conquering over Goliath. God delivered him in those instances. Daniel, in a lion's den, he was delivered from being killed by the lions because he was falsely accused. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They confronted Nebuchadnezzar and stood up for their belief. God delivered them. How do we stand up today? We must. You're here, you're sitting in church, you're attending the Sabbath, you have smiles on your face, you're happy to be here. I don't see anybody out there, doesn't look like you want to be here or anything of that nature. You look like you want to be here and you want to, be here for God, because God has called us to be here. And that is a wonderful thing. I always think to myself, when God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, back to the earth, and those that have died before us that are resurrected first, and then those who are alive are resurrected to meet Christ in the sky and then come back. You think about the future when you're teaching, you're there with Christ teaching those who have made it through the great tribulation, the 1,000-year period. The books are going to be open. And I always think, as I'm watching and seeing everyone out here and at other church areas, in the faith chapter and other stories that we read, what parts will be added that God will want added because of your example, your life, things that you can pass on to those that will be living and growing during the millennium. And then the eighth day, that you will be able to tell people, I was mortal once. I was there. I understand your story. I know what you went through. But let me tell you the truth about God. They're going to be fearful. I'm sure they're going to be frightened, especially when they're resurrected, not knowing what's going on, because they never had the opportunity to ever hear the name of God or Jesus Christ, but to be instructed. We are going to be able to be there to comfort them, to show them joy, to show them gladness, to help them through their sadness, through their fear and their frightened thoughts and feelings. The ups in our lives should be driven by our friendship and a loving attitude with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Also, a loving attitude with our family, our physical family, and our spiritual family. And it's that friendship that's a part of God's way of life. God designed us to need each other, to form, maintain, and enjoy a good relationship with others. And it's something that we have to develop, that we have to grow, we have to nurture, it has to mature. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and verse 11, Exodus 33, 11. Here we see where the Lord spoken to Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. One day. Right now we have that access to God because of Christ's sacrifice. We can go to God anytime, any time of day, night. As I've said before, there's no call waiting. He's there for us. And we need to be going to Him to always ask for repentance, where we have fallen short, where we have sinned. He is not going to push us away. If we're earnestly going to God in prayer to seek His guidance, His truth, He is there for us, just as He was there for Moses. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Second Chronicles 20, verse 7. Are not you our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before the your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Here we see how Abraham is referenced as God's friend forever. We will eventually see them. We will have that opportunity because Abraham, Moses, in the resurrection, they have gone before us. All the others that are mentioned here in the faith chapter that we will see one day, and they will see us. Brothers and sisters that God is calling God's family. In the book of Proverbs, if you would, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Yeah, it would help to go to the right one. I was in 24:18. It's amazing how I keep doing that almost every time. Proverbs 18:24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So again, something we have to develop. Do we show ourselves friendly? Yeah. Do we? I know I have people that remind me to make sure I smile when I'm up here talking. So, you know, and I appreciate that. Because if you notice a lot, I tend to not smile a lot. But we all think we're friendly people. And I know we are. But we have to show that. We have to, again, build that as a daily thing. It's not just a moment to moment, you know, okay, I'm not friendly today, but maybe tomorrow. No, we always have to be there. And it says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can you remember in your lifetime that you've had someone like that in your life? A friend that you feel is just so close that you could tell them anything. And you rely on them in your life. And you stay in contact with them. Yeah, you know, these are things I also think about because eventually I will retire 2 or 3 years from now. If everything continues, you know, good at work. But I got to thinking back, you know, when I was growing up, I had schoolmates. Nobody really that I considered a close friend. I had colleges, I had coworkers that I've known over the, you know, 43 years that I've been in this company. But no one I could really step back and say, you know, they're a really close friend that I would really want to stay in contact with and I could tell them anything. To me, that's sort of sad from my own personal angle. It's not that I wouldn't talk to them, you know, and, you know, have a friendly conversation, but when you really start to delve into these areas of your life, I am looking forward to retirement more because I won't have to worry about, number one, the driving all the time and the concentration of things outside of family life and God's work. To me, that's very important. What are our priorities? God should be priority number one, Him and His Son. Family should be priority two. Work, everything else, whatever number it wants to pick. But God and family, so important, so important. Now, matter of fact, speaking of friends, and I'm not going to mention the restaurant franchise, but the owner, Bob, of this franchise has on his wall, which I always find interesting when I'm there, he's always said, we treat strangers as friends and friends as family. Now, again, this franchise will be renamed Anonymous, but, you know, that's what Bob says. And it's amazing of that saying, because you sit there and you can meditate on that. Because there are strangers out there, but they are to be our friends. And there are friends out there that we consider family. Because the Father and Jesus Christ have a very close relationship with one another. They are one mind and spirit. And we are to be using that example to be seeking and developing the mind of God and Christ. Jesus said, if you would, turn to John 15, starting in verse 12. Christ being our instructor, our teacher, our elder brother, our Lord and Savior. In John 15, starting in verse 12, Christ speaking, saying, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Christ, the one known as the Word in John, created all things, calling us friends, and it's so wonderful to hear. And Jesus laid down his life for us. He fulfilled that on the cross. He fulfilled that. He laid his life down for mankind. And he commanded us to love one another. A monumental task that we are to work and strive toward. But a happy task, a wonderful task, a great assignment. If we are doing this daily, it's just like going to school and learning. God is presenting this as homework to us. Work on this. He guarantees us if we succeed in learning this, loving one another, we will reap the rewards that God has for us and will be presenting to us. And by experiencing this, you'll have a greater number of ups in your life. And that's what it's all about. Stop having the downs. You can expect it, but have more ups in your life. Because we must learn to be balanced and wise. Developing and maintaining healthy friendships. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. Again, learn to love one another. A friend learns to love at all times. We're to learn that. What qualities do you want to see in a friend that you would expect in a friend? And then think on that and look in a mirror at yourself and say, okay, what I expect from others, I expect from myself. What qualities do you look for? What about honesty? A friend to be honest with us. Again, if you're willing to just have a friend so close that you can tell them anything, you want them to be honest, because they're there to see that you may need a little bit of chiseling and sanding here or there. They're honest enough to let you know and mean it in love. To be non-judgmental. You know, what did King Solomon ask from God? He asked for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, discernment, so that he could lead God's people. To be non-judgmental, to be able to judge righteously, to have that mind of God as we are to be developing. We want a friend that's dependable. You know, not a fly-by-night friend. You know, when things start getting rough, well, okay, let me know when it's better. I'll come back and spend some time with you. No, a dependable friend who's there in the rough times and the good times. Because they're also going to be supportive. We need support. We need support from our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. But we also need support from one another. You know, that's why we always ask, are you willing to serve? There are needs here in our own church area, ushering, security, cleanup. We've already heard some of the reports of how the cleanup last week, how it went, how well it went. That was nice to hear. But there's constant needs. And if we're all friends for one another, because we're being called by God, we're a family. Not just friends, we're family. So there's ways that we can be supportive. We can be honest. We can be caring. You know, the many examples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being moved with compassion in response to the deep needs of others that he saw. You know, some of the examples of the grieving widow. I won't turn to the scripture, but I'll just mention it. Luke 7 and verse 13. The grieving widow, where he resurrected her son. He saw the deep need from her sorrow, her sadness that we mentioned earlier. Great sadness. The multitudes, the many multitudes where he saw their needs. And he was willing to serve them. Many verses. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38, as one example. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Here's an example of what we could be praying for. Those to be supportive of the work. Those that are able to help preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world, and how we are supportive of that effort. So let's recap about life's ups and downs. We're to know what fear is. We're to understand it. And to know and understand how to overcome it if it's a fear of man. But we are to also honor and show reverence, that fear to God, that He is due. We are to prepare our hearts and minds now, our spiritual hearts and minds, now, to build a faith and believe so that we are to combat these frightened feelings that we may experience. I'm sorry, but we'll continue to experience these things. It's going to happen, but we know that we can overcome that. We can fight it. Because we're always looking to God and to maintain looking at the big picture, the kingdom of God. Again, this should fill us with that great joy. It's coming. We are to develop, we are to nurture, we are to maintain and grow. The friendship with our father and with our elder brother. So develop that, nurture it, maintain it, grow it, but also with our physical and spiritual family. Don't let that sit on the shelf. Grow it, mature it. Share your stories with one another. Share your feelings while you're here. Because it does, it soothes. It's a soothing ointment to know that we have that closeness. We know that we're developing the mind of God and showing that love. We're magnifying the joy in our life. We are. Because we know why we were born. God has opened that truth up to us. Why we're here. God has called us for a purpose. And we know that if we endure to the end, we will receive God's promised gift of eternal life. So as we maneuver in this life with its ups and downs, as we maneuver through that, let's remember this. And for the final scripture, if you would, turn to the 23rd Psalm. I always think the 23rd Psalm has a very soothing message. As I was talking about that ointment, that soothing ointment. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it's so nice to lie down, rest in those green pastures that God is providing to us. He leads me beside the still waters. When Hurricane Harvey was going towards the coast, there were no still waters there. That was a massive amount of water, storm surge. And there's still a lot of water on the ground out there today. And it's not something you would consider as still waters, but it's waters that have to recede so people can move on with their life. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's not for our name's sake, but it's for His name's sake that He's leading us in that path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Just as we have been talking about today, to fear no evil. For you art with me, and we know that they are. Thy rod and your staff, they comfort me. As we continue to study God's word and pray, his rod and staff are there. They are to comfort us. You preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because we don't know for certain how many days of our life do we still have. So cherish each day. That's why we are to talk to our Father each day. Because we are to cherish our life. God gave us life. Our life has purpose. We know that. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we know we will. At Christ's return. We being the first fruits, we will dwell in the house forever. But we are to continue dwelling in that house now. Because if God's Spirit resides in us, baptized members, when we receive God's Spirit and the laying on of hands, we're the temple of God. His Spirit resides in us. So we are to maintain, we are to build, endure, all of these things. So let's celebrate life, especially life's ups, more each day, because we're to embrace God's calling, God's mercy, God's love. So let's pray always for one another and for God's will to be done. We pray for those that aren't here. Mr. Yates was supposed to give the sermon message today, but hasn't been feeling well. So, Dell and Twyla, we miss you. We're praying for you. We're wanting you to be back soon. We're praying for those out in Texas. We're praying for those in the Caribbean. And all of our brothers and sisters around the world. All of our church areas. All of our friends and our family. We know God will answer our prayers. So, life's ups and downs. What's it going to be? For me, I want to see a lot more ups in my life going forward. Enjoy the rest of Sabbath.